from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're Spigs.
He's here. Spigs is here. Parkins is here. The Parkins and Spiegel Show gets ready to go. And we can send out our thank yous. We thank Joe Ostrowski. We thank Jack Silverstein. We thank Jason Leisure. We thank Layla for being here today.
And the Bears.
Bears. And her Bears. It is real, by the way. It's not a bit.
No, it's a giant. She has three bags of Bears that she now has to return.
She was sent, apparently accidentally, but I thought it was something like from a David Fincher movie, and it was going to get really bizarre.
I saw her Bears. She showed me her Bears near the near the elevator, and they were weird looking.
Yes, that's the thing. They're creepy ass Bears,
they
too.
Are. They're not like fun Bears or cute Bears.
No, they're creepy ass Bears.
They looked a little like Gremlins, you know, from the movie Gremlins, which I loved as a kid.
You don't want to get them wet. Right,
you don't want to get them wet. You don't want to feed them after midnight. It's a lot of things you don't want to do.
Right,
gremlins. Yes.
Thanks to Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Tyler Farengol, and Cody Westerland, Kevin Lapka, Connor O'Donnell, all those guys. So it's game day.
It's game day, baby.
Bang.
Game day.
It is game day. Cubs play at 7:05.
No Caleb, no interest.
That's fair.
No Caleb, no interest.
Come on,
now,
man.
It's fair. I'll be watching for the Bears talk show, but in terms of the football, no Caleb, no interest.
Austin Booker, what you got? Let's see if you got a little burst.
Great.
So you got a little something off that edge. I don't care. I don't care how many L's we got. No, I don't care how many first stringers are out there. I want to see if Austin Booker's got some burst.
It's all about Caleb.
he's not playing.
Well, I know. That's why tonight doesn't really matter.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about
it. Well, it does in the backup quarterback competition.
No competition.
Apparently there is.
Yeah, the agency.
I think so, too. But at least there's lip service being paid to Brett Rippon surpassing him.
I like that they have the elder statesman quarterback who's been around and been Tom Brady's backup and friend, Ryan Griffin. He's on staff and not in quarterback room.
Perfect.
Love that. It's a nice.
That's
nice
what
mix.
That was the thing that I took from the Wiederer piece that I found most significant is yes, they believe in having someone in the room that has seen a bunch of things and knows a bunch of people. You just don't have to give him a helmet.
Yes, absolutely.
Very important.
Yeah.
My favorite thing from the Wiederer piece was Caleb feeling like he was in control at Bird Street, the place in California. So he ordered a fancy sushi roll. And Ian Cunningham said, it was just okay.
Yeah, so but he's like, hey, this is good here. Let me get this here. I love that.
No, but Ian Cunningham being like, kid thinks he knows sushi. You know, this 21-year-old or whatever it is. There was way too much going on with that sushi roll, right? There was like, there was avocado and scallion and mayonnaise.
Did you ever have a place where you went out with your family where there was like somebody would order for the table? Like when we would go for our regular Chinese meal and sit around it with a big group and a lazy Susan, my dad would order.
I hate that you called your sister that.
He would order everything.
Isn't that like a antiquated term?
The lazy Susan?
The lazy Susan?
Isn't there, there's some stuff attached to it.
Oh no, really? Is it racist?
Lazy Susans get canceled?
Is it racist?
Is it like Aunt Jemima or Uncle Ben or something?
Is lazy Susan offensive?
It's the big circle that spins around in the middle of the table and you would get all the entrees.
Sure.
Your big thing of rice.
I grew up with one.
Wasn't there a whole Larry David thing about this?
The term lazy Susan has been questioned for its possible sexist or racist undertones, but there is no direct connection between the term to any specific racial or ethnic group.
I think there was a whole like episode of Curb there was. On this.
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
And he like spun it too fast and spilled things everywhere.
Well intentionally, because he was like, hey, I'm saying Lazy Susan.
Yeah, exactly. You're not telling me that I can't say Lazy Susan. Yeah, I think Lazy Susan's still fine.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, you're good.
Today.
Anybody buy...
Who knows what tomorrow brings.
Pearl Milling Company pancakes or syrup?
It's formerly
Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima.
And there was an actual person connected to...
Aunt Jemima?
Like, she wasn't Aunt Jemima, but there was an actual, like, black woman attached to Ben.
Uncle Ben is not Uncle Ben anymore.
No, it's Ben's original rice.
Yep.
I don't buy that either.
You don't buy the rice?
I don't buy Ben's original. I buy other rice. Yeah.
I like the pre-made packets of the microwave
packets.
They're
so good.
Rice has changed. But it is so good. The 2 minutes of microwaved rice.
Yeah, but the Ben's classic or whatever, Ben's original, the regular rice pilaf, oh my God, it's crack.
They're all good.
They're all good.
I like all of the flavor varietals. And that's like, you could just make rice and do it correctly.
It's not as good.
I'm like... I mean, I guess it would take longer and taste worse.
I still don't know how much water to put in, you know, how much butter to use.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. I trust Ben.
Yeah, that's why you hire Ben.
Yeah, that's why Ben is here.
All right, so what was your point about the Lazy Susan and the Chinese
meal? I'm just saying,
meal?
Somebody who would order, you would trust to do all the ordering and you knew you were in good hands. Like somebody...
It's King Bleep. Ordering for the table is a King Bleep move.
I don't want anyone ordering for me. Okay. Unless I ask. Like... I don't want someone to assume that they're going to order for the table. I don't mind like, hey.
Appetizers?
That's fine. Or like a drink. Like, hey, everyone should try this drink. Cool. But I'll pick my own dinner. Like Thank you very much.
You can't come here and not get the mussels. So let's get an order of mussels for so everybody table. Can
yeah,
try.
Sure. It's different. Okay.
I was asked the other day for the best meal that I've ever had. And my answer ended up being the first time a guitar player friend of mine in LA said, oh, you want sushi? Let's go get sushi. And he took me to this place in the valley where the chef, we sat right at the sushi bar and he said, hey, chef. And they knew each other. He said, I'll take care of you. And out came like 12 consecutive courses of beautifully prepared, the freshest stuff
like
that
omakase
he had.
Style?
Everything. Yeah. And
how was that meeting with Caleb? That sounds awesome.
I didn't order anything. To your point, I didn't choose anything. That's why I thought of it. And like by the end, he's like, here, try this sea urchin. I'm like, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I ate anything. Oh, here are the shrimp eyes or whatever. Like, here's the, you know, with the tentacles. And like, yes, absolutely. Just whatever he told me I should eat, I would eat. So if you're in the right hands, letting somebody take over.
That's different. That's a chef's menu, though. That's just saying.
True. That's a guided tour.
That's a guided tour.
When Dan and I went to Acione, they brought out stuff.
Yeah, what Lawrence is saying is that if the four of us went out and I was like, I'll order for the table.
No, thank you.
Lawrence is like, no. But if the chef at a restaurant I'm preparing something for you, that's a different thing.
That's the best thing in the world.
When the chef is going to take care of you. Are there any allergies? Is there anything that you absolutely do not eat? No.
Just sit back.
Let me take care of it.
Or especially like if you're in Europe or you're in some seaside village somewhere where the menu is only written on a chalkboard based on what they have.
Will they catch that day?
What's good? What are people eating?
Yes.
Sit down. We'll bring.
Yeah. So great.
Yeah.
So great.
Explain it again with those nuggies.
Texters think we should have a rice draft. I don't think that wouldn't last very long. I'll take the university.
Terrible pick.
No. What are you talking about?
So like, wait, so that's like a fourth round.
Just like, could I take risotto?
Do I
have to say arborio, or can I do a biryani, or do I have to say basmati?
I'll take Glen rice, but just the Miami Heat one, not the Lakers version.
I had some basmati rice earlier this week. It's delicious.
I'll take Ann rice.
Oh, that's good. That's
I'll
good.
Take Jerry rice.
Oh, damn it! That
see why taking Rice University was a terrible idea.
Yeah. The fried rice with egg sauce from Rana Japan.
Oh, it's good.
You talk about like a North Shore OG.
So good. That egg sauce.
Is it the sauce they put on the shrimp, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like highlighter yellow. Like
it's like a mayonnaise.
Yeah, I know. It's delicious. it's the great. You get your fried rice, and then you say, can I have some egg sauce with the rice? And then you got to eat a few scoops of the rice immediately to get a little bowl in the center of your rice so that you can mix the whole thing around.
How about Grantland Rice?
Bowl of rice?
How about Grantland Rice without whom our industry would be different, probably?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ray Rice? Just make sure you're careful. Okay.
How about no?
All right.
No.
Just throw it out
but
there.
But if you're doing future rice, Kiki Rice.
I don't know about Kiki Rice.
She's in the documentary with Caitlin Clark and Camila Cardoso. She's a guard at UCLA who is the niece of Susan Rice. Very interesting.
Does bibimbap count as a rice dish?
No, I don't think so.
Damn it.
How about Kashmir Palal, the Indian rice dish with the saffron and some of the nuts and the fruit?
I'm just wild about saffron.
Is that a biryani, though?
I don't know.
Saffron's wild about me.
Yes.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
Want a good story about Mellow Yellow? About the Donovan song, Mellow Yellow?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the pop.
They're all standing in there listening back at Abbey Road. They're listening back to the track. And the horns are... And they're like, I don't know if we like the horns. And Paul McCartney walks in. He's like, oh, I love the brass. And they all turn around and go, oh, yeah, we were just saying how much we like.
We're totally keeping that in.
Yeah, exactly. We were just saying that, yes, absolutely, we like that as well.
Isn't there another story that you tell about Paul McCartney where he's like, kid, you're good. And if I say you're good, you're good.
Yeah, drummer, you're great. And when I tell you, you've been told.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, when you're Paul McCartney and you can say that stuff.
He's allowed.
He's kind of an authority figure.
Yeah, I think that he's
expert level. Kind of
level.
A flex when I tell you.
You've been told. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He's 100% correct.
I mean, but I do like all the musicians going, oh, yeah, we love the horns, too. Thought it was great.
We played it just for you.
Yeah.
We knew you'd love it.
That's why we left it in there. That's exactly right. Good talk, everybody.
He just happened to be there.
Hey, that's Abbey Road, man.
I know.
Yeah, they just strolled
just
through.
Just walking by. Gave a thought. Mm-hmm. Added some notes. Okay. Why not?
So did you guys make your picks for the Mastroli Award is only after the game, right? Or do you predict it ahead of time?
We decided to have a little draft today.
Okay. It's one of those days, right? If baseball season was more relevant, that would not have made the show. Because it's not, you're going to preview it. I get it.
Cathartic Cubs game last night.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Huh? You know, it was a cathartic Cubs game last night.
They hit the ball.
But they score multiple runs in five different innings.
They hit the hell out of the ball last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nico said, you know, best lineup they've had all year.
Sure.
So,
now that Bellinger's back and
Bellinger
added
with
there.
Paredes, with Saya being healthy.
And Betancourt.
Yesterday we talked about, or Bethancourt, right? It's Bethancourt. Yesterday we talked about what we would do with Jed, and then you guys got to hear some of Jed. I thought there was some good discomfort with Jed yesterday.
I agree. I thought I said it earlier, a pinch of snippy.
Yeah.
And a
little bit of undercurrent of excuse-making, non-excuse-making.
Yeah, you know, I disagreed with his answer to my question about Paredes, that a month ago, if you swap that guy in for Morel, the domino effect that it might have, like, okay, now I've got a guy who's got some two-strike approach, then maybe I can play Patrick Wisdom more and heal Homer. I have a better third baseman, things like that.
I'm with you on that, Spiegs. I think that there are times when I hear Jed and Carter talk where while they may say inside of an interview that these are people, they don't always profess in when they're trying to defend themselves. They kind of go back to the defense of the spreadsheet and not of what the impact might be of the actual baseball that is played. It's one of the things that's made me kind of look askance at them as far as running a front office is that there's a little bit of too much of we want to be efficient and them going, well, no, that totally doesn't work because it hasn't worked here, 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 and here. Well, it may have worked for you and your options were limited. So why not start trying things that are a little bit different because your method isn't working? I was also a little disappointed in him continuing to kind of cling to the idea of overperforming while not acknowledging the opportunity and the chance and it being proven this year that underperformance is also something that you should keep in mind. It's like he keeps going to, well, you know, guys just haven't hit. Yeah, Jed, they haven't. And it was kind of your job to be able to project out how this was going to go. And you went with the loftiest idea of what your players were instead of the mean, which if you look around that diamond, you go, there's a bunch of good players here. There's a bunch of 3 and 4 war players here. Well, what happens if 2 of them are 2 war players this year? Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like they took that into account at all.
Yeah, that was the part that struck me, was because in conjunction with the $300 million contract thing, which is not a completely new answer, but he's like, I'm more risk averse to that than even others are. Doesn't sound like Soto is coming to solve the problems of the team.
And yeah, but don't pretend he wouldn't be a massive difference maker and upgrade to put him in the middle
of
that.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it's one thing to say, like, if you have a guy who overachieves and then can have a 5 or a 6 war season, that would be great. Or you could pay for the guy who's expected to have the 5 or a 6 war season and then plays to that level. Because that is what normally happens.
Or as you're saying, Danny, like the guy whose floor isn't 2 or 1.5 war.
Right. A bad season from Aaron Judge is still an excellent season.
For sure. And
Bryce Harper.
Right, barring injury, barring the war component dropping just because of lack of availability.
Right, if he plays in 40 games, then of course. But if he plays in 140 games, he's going to be a very good baseball player. And if he has a good year, he's a great player.
I think the infusion of a real good player, whether it was a slugger, and that would make the other dudes not freak out about slugging the whole time because they were all pressing, or whether it's a guy like Paredes, and they're like, oh yeah, that dude can hit. Well, then maybe I should just relax. Whatever it is, the infusion of a good dude who you know is good makes a big freaking difference on the personal level. And I would agree that they don't seem to give moves to that. They don't seem to give strategy to that, while they might give lip service to it every once in a while.
It just kind of bothers me that they don't. It's strange because even with like the efficient like analysis type stuff that they like to do, it's like, did it ever occur to you that bad things could happen? Because what he keeps selling is what he sold last year is, well, guys will bounce back. Chad, we're 105 games in, sir. Like this isn't us on April 20th going, man, the Cubs are really struggling to hit with runners in scoring position. This is the bulk of a season.
Yeah, but the bulk of a season that's going to go down as a lost season.
Right, and along with, it was the bulk of last season too.
Hmm. Right, their underlying numbers suggested they were better than they were last year. They collapsed late, but I'm with you. By the time this season's over, they will be an under 500 team in the aggregate of 2 seasons. Right, they were 4 over last year, 83 win team. This year, assuming they don't win 79 plus games, they'll be an under 500 team across 324 baseball games.
Yep.
Like
that's a big sample.
It's a huge sample,
which is
largely
why
the same team.
Which could have been said when he sort of reflexively sneaked in, well, yeah, we play over 162 and variance has a lot to do with it. 100% right. That is absolutely true.
But there's less variance in 162.
Correct. And there's less when you start building it out further and further and further. And that includes injuries.
If you build a projected 85-win team and they underachieve, you're not a playoff team. If you build a projected 90-win team and they underachieve, you still got a chance.
If you build a projected 110-win team and they underachieve, like, keep doing that.
That argument plays if we're complaining about what happened in a 7-game series. Like, I would understand that clapback. I don't understand it over 162 or as Danny's saying, over 324. Like, those things don't match up with what you're asking your fan base to do.
I think you might have to stop talking about last year. I think you should probably
I've been
stop.
Begging him to do that for months.
Probably time.
Because my thing is this, Spiegs. I don't like that he talks about last year as if there wasn't a conclusion to it.
Yeah, they didn't win anything.
There was a conclusion to it. You didn't win. Like, at the end, you can talk about the hot streak that your guys went on and until you're blue in the face. But at the end of it, your team collapsed. And that's part of the story.
Just to play devil's advocate for a second, because I'm with you at this point with the sample. He said yesterday to us, the crazy thing is our pitching has been good enough this year to be a contender. The crazy thing is that last year their offense was good enough to be a contender.
Yeah.
And it's largely the same team on both. Like, if last year's hitting, which was sixth in baseball in runs scored, and this year's pitching, which other than like that May period where the pitching kind of swooned with all the bullpen injuries. Like the pitching, what, bullpen's well, top let's, five let's in baseball? Look at
bullpen's number two in baseball since June 1st.
Let's look at pitching and defense together. Let's call it run scoring and run prevention.
Sure. Defense was better last year than this year.
Better.
And they sacrificed knowingly some defense this year to try to inject offense. It worked with Bush and didn't really work with Morrell. Even though he led the team in homers.
Guys, let me throw this in real quick.
But I mean, I think that's the argument, right? Like, if Jed was going to believe that this core is not that far off despite the win-loss record, the argument would be if the 2023 offensive Cubs met the 2024 run prevention Cubs, they'd be a contending team.
That I think
would
they'd be fall awesome. In love.
But you also then have to go, well, now players are 2 years older. They have two more years of tread, and the most important guy from a salary standpoint may be the reason that both of those things can't marry.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm just saying that if I was advising him on how to sell the message of this team could still win, that's probably the argument I'd make, is that this pitching staff has been good despite all of the injuries.
But now look at Justin Steele the last couple of outings, and it hasn't been good. That's on me.
There's somebody.
I placed the Cy Young bet at 150 to
1. I heard you say that.
At 150 to 1, you had to, Danny. You had to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
the line moved.
Right. There's some really good contenders, though.
I know. But at the time, he was at like a 3 ERA. He was trending in the right direction. And at 150 to 1,
I got you.
Got to.
Sale, Gallen, Skeens. There's some horses up there.
100%. But he's been his last two starts have just been like trash.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough one.
There's a man I should have mentioned earlier in the segment. I'm embarrassed I did not. He is the only player in the 20th century who had 200 hits, 35 homers, and 100 RBI for three consecutive years. Only one player did that in the entire 20th century for three straight years. 200 hits, 35 homers, and 100 RBIs.
Frank Thomas?
No, I should have mentioned him earlier. Because it's my guy, Jim Rice.
That was your favorite Rice.
That's my number one. And I took Rice University.
You took Rice University.
It's a disaster.
And
tried to be clever and coy. And
their triple option offense.
I know.
You took that.
I got a picture of myself as a kid wearing a pitchers pay the price when they faced Jim Rice t-shirt because he was my guy. But how about that? One guy in the whole century, 200 hits, 35 homers, 100 ribs. It's that guy from 76 to 78.
Saw that. We were sitting in the upper deck at Old Comiskey, and he hit on a rainy, awful April night. I don't know what we were doing there. There was nobody there. And Jim Rice hit a ball that absolutely exploded a rotten wooden seat.
Cool.
Like
it was so cool because
a lot of the seats you didn't know until you sat down in them were kind of soft.
Yeah.
There was nobody there, and we were there, and the ball's like whistling by, and
that's awesome.
Kaboom! It was just like, oh, dude,
that's Randy Johnson exploding the bird without the animal.
It was 500 feet,
and it's not like it just cracked. Like, it was unsalvageable.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Did I tell you about the time I had Jim Rice on a radio show? And I said, Jim, I was watching one night in 1978 when the Royals went to a 4-man outfield and you doubled off the wall. That's how hot you were at the time. And he said, aren't you going to talk about the home run I hit that night? I said, no, I forgot that. He said, yeah, I homered that night too. It was Monday Night Baseball. And he remembered.
I love that.
Yeah.
Those guys remember. Aren't you going to talk about the home run I hit? Sorry, Jim.
Let's get to it.
Wani last week was lamenting a play call that went poor in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. He was upset that he didn't sweep the preseason. He's like, Coach Shula always said, if you're playing, you got to, and you're keeping score, you got to try to win them all. And I didn't win them all. We could have had an undefeated preseason. I'm like, Dave, Let it go, buddy. You got national championships and Super Bowls.
He will not let it go.
And bourbon.
It's insane.
The 85 Bears were 1-3 in the preseason.
Yeah, just such a ridiculous.
I believe the 73 Dolphins were 0-4.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't like the 2019 White Sox win the Cactus League or something?
Yeah. Yeah, Peyton Manning would routinely go 0-4 the preseason. Yeah. Dave, what are you talking about?
Now it matters for Hard Knocks. Now. We're going to see those Matt Eberflus post games and all of it.
It's why you wake up in the morning.
Let's go to our list.
No, this is Flus 2.0.
Yeah.
The glow up is a thing.
Might look better. The team might be better. I still think he's going to say goofy things. So yeah, we're hanging out today in anticipation of this. It's not a coronation, but it's a celebration of the Bears nationally tonight. We will revisit a few things that Jed Hoyer had to say. Very embarrassing story in my personal life that I will share. That seems to be one of the more popular things.
Are you okay?
I'm totally fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally. It's going to cost me a bunch of money, but I'm totally fine. And things like that. So we're doing that today.
Boys, have yourselves a show.
Thank you very much. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Park and Spiegel on the screen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.